Okay, this is May 18th, the Law of Attraction.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, here it is. We're speeding right along. This month is almost over. I think about it. We have to ask. Next week is Memorial Day. I will be here if the rest of you want to come. You make it.
I'm not doing anything else.
All right. So we will have class on Memorial Day. Okay. All right. With that, will you turn and say, I know that it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know that it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know that it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want. What I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know
it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want. I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want. I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I
want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
I know it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want.
And I know that it gives the universe great pleasure to give me what I want. This is very important for us to know. It's especially important during this month when you are manifesting things. You have to realize that it is a friendly universe that we live in. It is a friendly universe. The universe wants to participate with you, and you are participating with the universe. There is no way that the universe is going to say no to you. The same way there is no way that God is going to say no to you. When I use the word universe, I'm also using the word God. It is always going to be God as something, God as the universe, God as Dallas, God as Andy, God as Lisa. It's always going to be God. So you have to realize that this thing that we call God and this universe is one and the same thing. But the idea here is to understand that it is a friendly universe, the same way it is a friendly God. We are not talking about the God of the Old Testament. This is not a God of brimstone, fire and brimstone. The God that we are talking about is a friendly God, a loving God, a benevolent God, a giving God. Why is that? Because if you know that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is, you have to realize that this thing called God is operating in, as, and through you. So when you achieve something, God achieves something. I will tell you a cute story to wake you all up. Years ago, I went to a religious science retreat in Asilomar up on the Monterey Peninsula. They do that every year, by the way. Both churches meet there. And anyway, there was a lady there called Helen Street. And she had, at that time, her church was in Honolulu, Hawaii, and she had a very big church and a very big following. She eventually wound up taking over the Glendale church when Fishback left there. Anyway, she stood up in one of the conferences that we were having, and she made this statement. She said, "When I come, God comes." before she cleared the room. But you have to remember that. When you're doing something, God's doing something. When you're thinking, God's thinking. You have to know that. So you have to know that it's a friendly universe, that it's a friendly God, and this thing called God wants you to have what you want. God is working in, as, and through you, each and every moment. So if you have anything going on inside of your consciousness, inside of that little mind of yours, that denies any of that, you must get rid of that negation. You have picked that up. It's one of the lies that you picked up on your stay here on this plane of action. There are many lies out there. And many people live by a lie, thinking it's the truth. Many people want to be punished all the time because they think that they were born into sin. Please don't think that. How could you be born into sin? You're born from this thing called God. You're created by this thing called God. God is all good. I don't know how many people read the Bible, but if you'll remember, when God was doing all this creation, God looked around and said, all is good. God only makes good things. Same. Do you remember when you were children, maybe you heard God doesn't make junk? You're not junk people. You're magnificent human beings. You're creative human beings. You're manifesting machines. You have to realize that. You have to keep your mind on what you want. But remember, it's a friendly universe. God is friendly. God is your friend. Make God your friend. Don't make God your savior. Make God your friend. You see, many times I tell you that God, we always say God is mighty, but God is also useful. Learn to use God. Learn to use this 21 days that you have to manifest what you want. And also, excuse me, by now, there should be what I call movement in mind going on. Things that you have asked for should start. There should be a hint. There should be something, a nudge. There should be something going on with what you want. There should be something. People who want to lose weight, at least you must have lost something. People who wanted money to come into their life, there must have been something come into their life. I don't care if it's a dime. I don't care if it's a penny. You have to take that as a sign. It's starting. It's manifesting. You cannot see inside of your egg, but you have to know that something's going on inside of there. So let's talk about our egg. What were we doing with our egg all week? Did we focus on our egg? Did we remember our egg? You're saying. You have to do that. Where your attention goes, energy flows. You must put your attention there. If you look at a chicken, a hen, sitting on her egg, she may get up a minute and get a little bit of food or drink of water. But she rushes right back, fluffs up her feathers, rearranges those eggs, and sits back down. She doesn't get distracted because another chicken called her on the phone and said, oh, well, let's go out tonight. She doesn't do that. She keeps her focus on her eggs. That's what we have to do. You have to keep your focus on your egg. If somebody calls you and says, oh, I have this to do and that to do, you can't get distracted. You cannot get distracted. You're saying. As soon as you get distracted, you've left the nest. And you cannot leave the nest. You cannot leave until you've made your demonstration, till you've manifested what you want. And that's where we run into trouble. Oh, it's taking too long. Oh, I forgot to do it today. Oh, well, I changed my mind. I don't want that. Now I want something else. Quite all right to change your mind, but go ahead and manifest the thing that you were starting with. And then if you don't like it, throw the damn thing out and start something new. But don't stop a process. If you stop the processes, how are you ever going to learn to manifest something? You have to bring it to fruition, regardless of what it is. And then you look at it and say, look what I've done. Look what I have done. And it will happen. So, where thought goes, energy flows. So where are you putting your thought for the energy? You have to put it inside of your egg. You have to know that something's going on in there. Did you visualize anything happening inside of your egg? Do you realize that you have added nothing to that egg since you put it in there, since you started this thing? Do you realize on this plane of action, there has never been anything added? There's nothing added to this planet that we live on. There's nothing added to our atmosphere. We're drinking the same water that the dinosaurs drank. No new water has come onto this planet, people. No new stuff comes onto this planet. We take what we have here and we make something. The same way nothing has been added to that egg. But it will manifest because all the things that are necessary are already here. So if you think you're waiting for something to be added, stop that idea. Stop it. Know that everything is right there. So what do I mean by that? When you're looking at your egg, when you're rolling your egg, when you're watering your egg, when you're sitting on your egg, what are your thoughts thinking? Well, I think this is going to work, but you know the economy is really bad right now. So maybe I may ask for too much. You can never ask for too much, people. You can never ask for too much. You're talking about God here. God is infinite. God is abundant. So you can't ask for too much. You know, which brings up another little thing. When they say, oh, you can spoil a child. You can never spoil a child. You can never spoil a child too much. You can never give anybody too much of anything. You can never do that. So give yourself what you want. Keep your focus on what you want. You don't have to do it morning, noon, and night. But you have to keep it in mind. You cannot get distracted and go somewhere else with it. And that's what we do. You see, the world outside is not only very convincing, it's very distracting. You see, there's always something going on out there. Where does your interest always go? Does anyone know where your interest always will go? It will always go to a distraction. You see, it will always go to something that's stimulating outside of you. I can talk now all about this egg, and I can talk about manifesting, and I can talk about God, and you have your attention, you think on me. But if a nude woman walked into this room, where would your attention go? Your attention would immediately go there. Now you've just lost it. You have to be able to keep your mind in your body. You have to be able to keep your mind on what you want it to do for you. But you don't. You let your mind jump here, there, and everywhere. If a siren goes out on the street, and a fire truck goes down, does everyone, oh, what is that? Oh, I wonder what's going on. I never allow a noise to distract me from anything. I was in bed last night when the earthquake occurred. Didn't distract me at all. I said, stop. I don't want to pick up all this stuff. My phone rang. I didn't bother to answer it. Oh, did you feel the earthquake? Oh, my goodness, are you all right? Well, of course I'm all right. Of course, I never called that person back even today. You don't get distracted by these things. And this is what we do in life. This is one of the secrets of life, is not to get distracted. Not to get distracted. In the Bible, I love to use that. It makes me sound so, what?
Biblical.
No, biblical. Ministerial, I was going to say. There's an expression in the Bible, and it's called the single eye. And if you want to achieve something, you must have the single eye. That's not a Cyclops, by the way, with one eye here. The single eye means you must get your focus on exactly what you want, and you must keep it there. You must keep it there. You see? So what you want, you have to keep it there. You can't jump from one thing to the other. You cannot do that. But all of life is learning to be in your body. to keep your mind in your body. How else can I explain that to you? How many people come to this class, and while I'm talking, they think, oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? Oh, I have to meet somebody after class. Your mind has just gone. You have no discipline over your mind. You must keep your mind where you are. You must always keep your mind where you are. And always bring it back to your body, to yourself. Don't let it go around it, jumping all over the place. And it can do that. So when you're looking at your rig and so forth, concentrate on that. Doesn't have to be heavy concentration, but it has to be sincere. It has to be a sincere desire coupled with belief that it is a friendly universe, that it is a friendly God that always wants to help me, that always wants to give me what I want. That's as easy said, a little harder to do sometimes, because we get involved in the world and we get distracted. Keep your energy, keep your focus and your attention on what you want, because where you put your attention, where you put your focus, is where the energy is going to go. And we're using your energy. We use this thing called God. Well, this thing called God is operating through you. So the energy that you're using is God energy, but it's coming through you. And it's coming through you into this egg that you have. And it is building what you want in there from absolutely nothing. From absolutely nothing. You have to believe that. You see, we do not know. We say, oh, the egg was fertilized. But we don't know how that little chick starts out. We do not know how any of that happens. We can say it's the splitting of cells. We can say all this type of thing. And all that is very scientific. But still, we don't know. We cannot do it. We cannot do that. I told you months, years ago, the whole idea that no one knows why the heart starts to beat. You see, in a fetus, a human fetus or any fetus, at a certain point, the heart just starts to beat. Now, I like to think of that as the finger of God touches and it starts to beat. Now, we know God doesn't have a finger, but we're using that right now. So you have to see those things, you see. This builds belief. This builds the whole idea that, yes, life is a mystery. And it's a wonderful mystery. It's also a miracle, and it's a wonderful miracle. But you have to realize that you are not on this plane of action alone. That this thing called God is right here with you. Because the only way that God can operate is through you. So it's always going to be God in, as, and through you. So you are perfectly able to reach the idea that God can create. Do you think you created yourself? You can create yourself after you have been created. But in the process, you do not do that. You see. So if you believe that, bring your belief on to then, if I was created and God created me and God is in me, now I can create. Now I can create. And I can create what I want. And it doesn't have to do with anything but my belief system. It doesn't have anything to do. So when you're thinking, oh, well, I need money, you have to realize that the money is already there, you see. Anything that you want, you can have without money. When I say without money, I should say without your money. Something else will come and do that for you. But we think, oh, it has to be our money, or it has to be me doing this. No. Let this process work. Let God work in, as, and through you. Now, in the meantime, you must take steps also. What? With your thinking, with your focus, with your attention, and with your belief. You must do something. You just can't sit there, you see. If the chicken just sat there, never got off the eggs, never rolled the eggs would not do. The eggs would not do, you see. It has to be turned. So when you're visualizing your egg, be turning it and be loving it and be keeping it. But know that it's going to work for you. You see, you must always envision the end result. It's the end result that you want. And there's a process that you go through to get there. The process is not that important. It's focusing on the end result. You must know that you already have what you want. Then you must get a feeling of what that feels like. What does it feel like to have my wants and my desires fulfilled? How will I feel? Now, the same as with meditation or anything else, as soon as we start to do any of this stuff, your mind says, I'm not doing it right. I don't think I did it like Dallas did it. And I want to tell you, don't do things like I do. You know, get yourself in a lot of trouble. And I make most of this stuff up, people. You know, it's a make-believe world. I know that, so I make it up as I go. It's a make-believe world. You see? I have a lovely little thing. You remember, it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. You see? It wouldn't be make-believe. The world wouldn't be make-believe at all if you believed in this thing called God. Then it would be real. Because we're always going for the reality of things. Then what you're seeing right now is an illusion. Is an illusion. But you can work within that. It doesn't bother. You can work within that. But however you are doing it, you have to know is right for you. However you are doing it is right for you. There is no wrong way to do this. Why? Because you're an individualized expression of God. So say to yourself, how would I do it? And then do it. Don't say, oh, I think Dallas would do it this way. I think Andy would do it this way. Then, no. It's you. You're doing it. You see, God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. I wish that were true. That he did. God doesn't show favorites. So everyone is doing it the right way. Because you're doing it your way. And your way is always going to be the right way. Always going to be the right way. How many people here follow a recipe exactly the way it's written in a cookbook? Don't you say, oh, I think I'll add this, I think I'll do that, I don't like that, I take this out. Don't you get your own dish? You see? You get your own thing and everyone says, oh, this is wonderful. This is marvelous. Oh, thank you, I made it. You see? You don't have to follow that recipe exactly. It's a blueprint, for goodness sakes. It's merely suggestions of how to do something. Once you learn how to cook, once you learn how to do anything, you know you can throw it all, any of that stuff around. You know what goes with what. This is what you have to know about this manifesting and about this thing called God. Once you know that you live in a friendly universe and this thing called God wants to give you everything, now you can just do. So we use the egg because it takes 21 days. because that's in our thing. The same way this young man gave up smoking, but now he's gaining weight. Why is he gaining weight? There's no earthly reason to gain weight. It's a belief system, because the world says if you give up smoking, you gain weight. I smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. I gave them up. I did not gain an ounce. Why? Because I said I would not do that. Don't believe what the world is telling you. Believe what you want. So look at your egg and see it growing and know what's going on inside of there. And look around for evidence. Look around for evidence. The phone will ring. A friend will say something. You'll be pointed in the right direction. This is how you manifest things. This is how you manifest things. All right. Let's take a moment and close our eyes. I want you to pretend, I want you to imagine that you're going on a very special trip. It's a very special trip because you have to pack a steamer trunk. And for the younger people who don't know what a steamer trunk is, it's a very large trunk. And it opens up so that you can hang things in it. It has all kinds of little drawers and all kinds of places to put your valuables. There isn't anything in this, that you can have that you can't put into a steamer trunk, because it will have a compartment for it. So as you're packing for this very special trip, you have the steamer trunk in front of you. And what you're going to put in the steamer trunk are all the things that you think you must take on this trip with you. All the things that make you who you are. So you're going to pull out some of these little drawers, and in one drawer you're going to put all your worries. Just pull out the drawer and put your worries in there. Now you're going to take them with you, you know. All right. How about lack of self-confidence? Why don't we pull a drawer out and put that in? Why don't we put in a drawer all the hates and jealousies that we think we have? Another, and for all the inadequacies. How about opening up a drawer and putting in all that extra weight that you don't want? So put in that trunk anything that you think is part of you. Past history. Family squabbles, past lovers, anything that's in your mind that is holding you back, but that you believe is part of you, put it in that trunk. That's it. Just put it in there. And now when you have your trunk completely packed, you close that trunk up, you lock it up. That's it. Now there's a knock at the door, and the shipping company has arrived to pick up your trunk. And off your trunk goes to the docks to be put on board the ship that you're taking. And you get yourself ready and you go down to the dock. And you get to the dock and you had the time wrong. And the ship has left without you. And it has taken your trunk with it. Now you're standing there on the dock with none of those old things. with none of those hurts and slights, with none of that negativity, with none of those thoughts that say you can't. You're gone. The ship has sailed without you. But you are standing there on the dock. Still yourself. Still yourself. But you don't have all that old baggage anymore. It's gone. You have given it up. The ship has sailed without you. Your bags are gone. And with that, a pleasant feeling comes over you. A lightness. You feel different. You feel new. You are new. You are no longer weighted down by all that baggage. You are now free. You are now free to think differently about yourself. You have emptied your memory banks. And now you have room to put something new in there. So you start to see yourself the way you have always wanted to be. You start to see yourself successful. And you start to feel successful. And it's a wonderful feeling, a warm feeling. You feel happy and you fill with joy. You like yourself, you like life. Geez, you're glad you're here. You're glad you're here on this plane of action. What fun it is not to have all this old baggage anymore. How wonderful, how light, how filled with joy. You see the loving and the caring and the sharing relationship that you want to be in. How does that feel? Oh, it feels wonderful. I no longer have to hide because I don't have all these negative things going on. I feel worthy and deserving. I no longer feel self-confident. I feel wonderful about myself. I have faith in myself. I have confidence in myself. I know I can do this. There is nothing holding me back. So you start to leave the dock just skipping. You're so delighted that the ship sailed without you and took with it all that stuff that you did not need. You are now an empty vessel, ready to be filled with the truth of who and what you really are. You now start to see yourself as that magnificent human being that you truly are. You have faith in yourself, you have faith in life itself, and you have faith in the future. You see yourself accomplishing your goals because you have nothing now inside of that mind of yours holding you back, telling you that you can't. The voices are gone. And only you live in your mind now. And you have taken control of your mind. And you are now controlling it. And it is no longer controlling you. It feels a little awkward, a little strange, but you're delighted with that. You're delighted that now you are in control. Your past is not in control. Those parental voices are not in control. You hear a voice inside of you that says, "You are the beloved in whom I am well pleased. You are the beloved in whom I am well pleased." Rest there in that thought a moment. When you're ready, you can come back to the room. When you're going to make a demonstration, when you're going to manifest something, you must clear your mind. You must cleanse your mind to make ready for it. To make ready for it. If you still have that same old stuff saying, "No, it can't be done," there's no sense even starting this. So know that you don't have that anymore in your mind. It's off to sea someplace. We don't want to see it again. It's gone. It's absolutely gone. Also, I explained months, years ago, the whole idea about the lost mode of prayer. And I'm going to explain the lost mode of prayer to you again. It has to do, of course, with feeling. And it has to do with not praying for something, but praying what you want. And I used the example before of rain, and I will do that again. But when I say you must pray not for something, you pray the thing itself. So you never pray for money, you pray money. You don't pray for health, you pray health.
What does that mean?
I'm going to explain it. You always pray. All right. If you're going to be praying for rain, you pray rain. How do you pray rain? You close your eyes. You start to think of rain. You start, how does rain feel? How does it feel when it touches my skin? Drip, drip, drip. And it's getting heavier and heavier, the rain. And now my feet are getting wet. And the ground underneath my feet is getting soggy and muddy. And I can smell the rain. And I can hear the lightning. And it smells so fresh and so wonderful. And I can feel the light breeze. It's just wonderful. And I remember when I was a child playing in the rain, squishing my feet into the grass and the mud, running through a mud puddle. And I felt wonderful. And the rain felt so cool and so wonderful on my skin. but it was raining. That's how you pray rain. You bring up the feeling. Money. How do you pray money? You close your eyes. And you think money. How does it feel to have money? What does money smell like? What feeling goes off? Oh, a wonderful feeling of security. A wonderful feeling that I can buy anything that I want. That I can help people. That I can do anything that I want. I have freedom. I have freedom. I don't have a worry in the world about money. That's how you pray money. How do you pray job? You see yourself at that job that you want. Who's around you? What does your desk look like? How does it feel, the chair? Does it rock back and forth? Oh, I love my job. Look, pens on the table. Oh, right. What feeling am I feeling? I'm feeling a feeling of accomplishment. I'm feeling fulfilled. I know now that I can support myself. Oh, I am so pleased with myself. I'm overwhelmed with the pleasure that I can take care of myself. I'm no burden to anybody. I alone am doing this. Oh, what a wonderful feeling. That's how you pray job. What else do we need? Creativity. There are only four areas of life, people. Creativity. Oh, I'm starting to tingle and ideas coming through. Oh, I see myself painting. Oh, my goodness, I pick up the... look at that color. It's just absolutely wonderful. The absolute joy, the absolute pleasure, the absolute love that is coursing through me right now. I just love this. That's how you pray. That's how you pray. Don't pray for things. Pray for feelings. Pray for the end result. How will we feel? Let's do relationships, because I could build a profession around people who want love, who want a relationship. Oh, my goodness. If I could only explain the feeling of loving myself, the joy and the pleasure of my own company, to realize that I am a magnificent human being, a wonderful creature. And I have to share that wonderment with somebody else. I am pleased with myself. I am happy with myself. Why wouldn't anyone want to be around me and be with me? I'm clever. I'm talented. I'm creative. I'm wealthy. That's how you pray for a relationship. Find the feeling that is connected with what you want. Find the feeling that is connected with what you want. Now, people say, well, I don't feel that way. Well, start to. This thing of thinking, oh, I don't feel that way. Well, of course you don't feel that way because you're feeling the way you're feeling. But you think, oh, well, that I didn't cause that. You certainly did. You certainly did. You cause every feeling that comes into you. You're the one that's creating. You create feelings. They don't drop out of thin air, people. Nor do they drop out of the world here. You're saying. The world doesn't manufacture feelings. It throws things in front of you for your reaction. Loves to do that, you know. Just keep you bouncing around. It just throws anything at you. And you say, oh, well, I feel, oh, that's beautiful, so I feel beautiful. I think that. Feel beautiful all the time. Fill yourself with love and joy all the time. You see? Please ask for everything that you want. Desire everything and desire even more. But get the feeling that it takes to do that. Do the feeling work. How do I feel? We're not taught to observe our feelings. We're not taught that we manufacture our feelings. Feelings always follow thought. There is no other way. So if you're down in the dumps, it's because of your thinking. If you're up, it's because of your thinking. And you are the one that controls your thinking. You are the one that controls your thinking. So how many people right here and right now are feeling worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter? Then let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yay. So remember why you're doing the egg. Remember that you do matter, that you are worthy, that you're totally lovable. Know those things about yourself. Then sit down with your egg and manufacture a feeling. What does it feel like? I could say joy. Andy could say happiness. It doesn't matter, but it has to be a feeling. Now, once you know that you're responsible for your feelings and that you're grown-ups, why do you ever want to feel bad? Why would you ever want to feel any feeling except a feeling of joy and happiness and love, caring and compassion, instead of all those other negative things that you see? Remember what life is? A choice. Life is a choice. Always boils down. It's your responsibility to feel the way you want to feel. You see, you can be filled with a room full of gloomy people. You do not have to become gloomy. You do not have to become gloomy. My advice would be to leave the room. But if you want to stay in the room, maintain your happiness. Oh, that person pulled me down. How could that person pull you down? They didn't pull you down. You pulled yourself down. You bought into whatever they were saying. You're always going to run into the doomers and gloomers of life. Stay away from the doomers and gloomers of life, people. There are no good. They are absolutely no good. You see. And we think, oh, well, let's just do that for a minute. I'll just do that. No. No, don't do that to yourself. Watch what you're doing. Watch what you're doing. You see, we have to become conscious. We have to become aware of what we're thinking and what we're doing. And then we make a choice. A young man today I ran into told me a story about somebody else. My first thought was, I can't wait to run and tell somebody. I knew exactly who I was going to tell to, because they would have agreed with me. But I watched and I said, no. No. I am not going to do that. And when I saw the other person I was going to tell, I didn't even bother to mention it. You see, you do not have to carry things. You don't have to carry that stuff. It was a personal thing, and it was a piece of information that I did not need, nor did I need to spread that around. You see. This is the way you will change the world. You see, people say, oh, the world's always the same. People are always the same and things can't change it. You know, that's all. That's just the way it is. It's not just the way it is. You can change things. The whole idea of this teaching is to bring you to a point where you realize that there's a completely different way to go through life than most people go through life. And that means without all that little pettiness and so forth, that backbiting, that telling horrible things about somebody. What good does that do? Remember what you're telling about. You're telling about God. There isn't anybody out there that isn't God. If you find one, please bring it to me. I'd like to see it. See, it's an impossibility. So when we say there's mean and hateful things, we're saying there's mean and hateful things about God. True, the person may have done that. The person may have done all those things. But still, you must see the God in them. And by spreading that around, you're buying into what the world tells you. People are mean. People are hateful. You know how people are and all this kind of thing. Now, when you say that, you know, your mind does not know that you're talking about somebody else. Does not know you're talking about somebody else. Only knows that you're talking about yourself. When you're driving your car and you say, look what that idiot just did. Your mind does not know that you're talking about that idiot. But it does know you're talking about this idiot. Nothing goes outside of you. Nothing goes outside of you. What you say about anybody, you're saying about yourself. So if you want to say something nice about yourself, say something nice to somebody else and about somebody else. And if we all did that in no time, you know, the world would change. But we think we can get away with this. I told you before, there was a book out years ago called You Cannot Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. We have come so far in our evolution. We are now participating in this thing called evolution. We must continue to participate in it until we are able to think God thoughts after it. Till we are able to think God thoughts after it. And that's what you're learning here. You're learning to think bigger and better thoughts. Bigger and better thoughts about yourself. You're learning that you can have what you want. That you live in a friendly universe. And you live with a thing, we call God, that wants to give you everything you want. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.